All right, there's no panic here from the Brewers faithful, even though they lost two yesterday to the Chicago Cubs. We are joined now here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy by Dom Catronio, who covers the Brewers day in and day out. He is in Chicago right now. Dom, we put some predictions on this series with the Cubs. I thought they'd go 4-1. I was wrong. It's really hard for me to admit that. These guys know. The word just doesn't roll off the tongue for me. Chewy and Gabe, though, still alive, 3-2. How should Brewers fans feel about what's going on down there at Wrigley Field?
I think Brandon Woodruff put it perfectly yesterday in the postgame where, you know, you win 14 in a row, you feel like you're never going to lose again, you lose back-to-back games, oh my goodness, the sky's falling. It's fine. Like, this is only the third time they've lost back-to-back games since June 10th. Like, think about that for a second. Just losing back-to-back games. This isn't like a six-game losing streak. And you lost two games that, you know, were save situations. You were in the game in the very end. So got so used to winning, all of a sudden we're kind of overreacting. But I think the Brewers, you know, I think the goal was obviously to win the series and take that tiebreaker, move on. They still obviously have the opportunity to do that with these last two games. In all reality, if you just take two games out of these five, you'll be coming home. Yes, you don't have the tiebreaker, but you'll still be up 7 with 36 games to go. So the numbers are really in your favor there.
Dom, if the Cubs somehow fall off the map and don't make the wild card, is Counsell?
They won't. They won't. They won't.
Well, then will he be on the hot seat after 2 years?
No.
He won't?
No. The National League wild card picture is very set. I know the Reds are in it, kind of. But look, I said this on my show last night. Like, I think because the division lead is so large, I think we instantly sort of assume, oh, the Cubs aren't playing well. Like, the Cubs still have the fifth best record in baseball. Like, that's not anything to sniff at. They're a very good team on the other side. And just because they didn't win the division, I mean, we all know anything can happen in October. Just ask the Mets, just ask the Cardinals, just ask all of these teams that have eliminated the Brewers over the years. And that's all the Brewers are hoping that they can flip that script coming up in this year. And, you know, when you look at what Craig has done down here, they're still a very quality team. And they had this division into mid-June, but he is nowhere near a hot seat.
Okay.
How concerned should Brewers fans be with the Joey Ortiz bruised knee? Just a couple of days for him?
I think we're going to find out more today. X-rays were negative. Defensively, they should be concerned. And quite frankly, in August, his bat was really starting to come around, right? He was really showing, you know, opposite field approach. He was not striking out at all. I know some, you know, at-bats maybe came up empty, specifically that bases loaded at-bat in the second inning of game one. You know, he pops out to first base. But his defense has taken another leap and bound in the middle of the season. So it's probably going to be Andrew Monasterio playing short. Maybe the Brewers do something funky where they move Terang over in later stages of the game and move Mona to second. I don't know exactly how they want to play this out, but this is just a reminder of where up the middle, the Brewers, that's the Achilles right now for depth. You know, that's what it's been all year long, and they've been lucky that, knock on wood, Bryce and Joey have been healthy the whole year until this point. So they're going to hope for just a couple of days for Joey. It was a foul ball. It looked kind of awkward, but we'll find out more today.
Dom Catronio joining us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, Brewers pre- and post-game host on 620 WTMJ. All right, so we have loved this storyline about the Brewers being quote-unquote average Joes and really this plucky bunch of misfits, et cetera, et cetera. But how hard is it to maintain that underdog mentality, that underdog mindset, when you have the best record in baseball, when these guys are playing as well as they are? You're inside that clubhouse. How are they doing it? How is Murph keeping them all, keeping the egos in check?
You know, it's funny. We walked in to the clubhouse Monday morning for the doubleheader that was originally scheduled. And a lot of Chicago media is in there. There's a couple extra cameras. There's a few extra people in the clubhouse. And then yesterday, we walk into the clubhouse, and it's just the usual beat. You know, it's just me, Adam McAlvey, and Todd Rosiak. And it's just like, wow, that happened quick. Like, what happened? They just won 7-0, your best team in baseball. So I think that sort of helps, too. It is kind of quiet in this clubhouse at times. And Murph's always talked about it, too, where you look at it, he only cares about, are they playing hard? Are they playing Brewers baseball? Are they doing the things that the Brewers can control? And quite frankly, in game two of last night, they hit a bunch of balls hard, Adam balls. They didn't strike out all that much. some bad luck didn't go their way, and you know the Cubs got some good luck of their own. That's baseball, you know. It's just Murph wasn't really even despondent at all about yesterday's game, and I think that's exactly kind of the message you want to hear, right? Where it's like, yeah, all right, lost by three, move on. Let's get her going tomorrow. Sleep in tomorrow, boys. Maybe it'll be a show and go type day, and just let everybody take a breather, because it has been a little bit of a weird schedule these last 3 days, and you know, shake her off and put on the Average Joe's Patches O'Houlihan jersey and get ready to play ball tonight.
Dom Catronio behind enemy lines. It's brought to us by Cannon and Dunphy and Big Fish Contracting. What kind of start are you expecting out of Miz tonight?
You need to get him back on track. I think that with the way that things went on Friday, that is going to be massive because, you know, A, he can't get that cute against the Cubs. You know, this lineup's better than the Reds lineup. And kudos to the Reds. They were able to just kind of sit back and be like, throw us a strike, you know, like throw a strike. We know you can't throw a strike right now and with the heater. And, you know, I'll say it for Miz. He didn't want to say it in the postgame press conference. He was not a fan of the mound, like the actual clay mixture and the height of the mound in Cincinnati. That is kind of a known inside baseball thing in, you know, like I can compare, like, some football players understand, like, some fields are terrible. And, you know, you can say it. You're in Chicago.
You can say Soldier Field. We know.
Yeah, stinks.
Say it. But yeah, it's like kind of like that. So I hope that for Miz, the number one key for him has got to be fastball command, which is, I mean, oh my gosh, groundbreaking take, right? But the point being, when he has that 99, he doesn't even need the 102. When he has that 99 in the zone, that's when he's disgusting, and that's when he's able to get through five.
Dom, are they going to have to tear up Murph's contract at the end of the year and pay him some serious bucks?
That's a good question. Honestly, I think Murph's the kind of guy that, you know, the money's a perk. It's not why he does it. I think Murph's somebody that enjoys, you know, leading young men, but leading, you know, kind of with the guys in the clubhouse. You know, he's always deflected credit. Anytime somebody tries to bring up something about this team and how he's maybe going to be back-to-back manager of the year, and he's always said that it's all about people in this organization from top down, from Adonacio to Arnold to Murphy to Yelly, and all the way down to every last person in this, the people of the organization, which is why the Brewers are in this position. I don't see Pat Murphy coming in slamming the table and saying, here's my number, you better meet it. I don't see that happening, but I think the overwhelming sense, right, is that they nailed the hire. You know, 2 years ago, they nailed it. And Murph's been so great to work with, and I think it's just right place, right time, right guy.
Well, so off of that, I had a buddy text me this. I didn't really have an answer, so I'm going to ask you, what's Ricky Weeks' role in helping out Murph as again, he's in his second year now as being on the staff?
I tell you what, it was actually Pat Murphy's idea to bring Ricky Weeks onto the staff. And Rick, and I had a good 15-minute chat with Ricky Weeks yesterday, actually, just talking about the season, what's going on, how you're doing it. And I think the biggest thing that Ricky gives to this coaching staff, and, you know, in baseball, not many guys that were all-stars and, you know, absolute playoff contenders stay in the coaching ranks. And Ricky did. And Ricky wants to help out the next generation and got every ounce of talent out of his incredible career. And to be that validity in this coaching staff. Now, there are multiple big leaguers on this coaching staff. I mean, don't forget about Jason Lane with the Astros. Don't forget about, of course, Ricky, and even Chris Hook made it to the big leagues too. But it's just that sometimes that little bit of validity of, hey, man, I know what you're going through. Let's talk it out. Or just that little bit of a yin and yang. We talked about it all the time with Counts and Murph, that Counts was very, you know, sort of serious and locked in and focused, and Murph was the pocket pancake guy. And now you look at, you know, Murph's the pocket pancake guy, and Ricky, I'm not saying he's like locked in serious, but he's just somebody that sort of gives a little bit of muscle to the bravado and gives something that the Brewers can kind of be, yeah, that guy did it, why can't I?
Dom Catronio hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. A couple more things, and I sound like Buddy the Elf when I say this. What's your favorite color? But right now, Dom, who's your favorite brewer? For me, it changes by the day. I'm like, oh, I'm a big Sal fan. I love what Sal is doing. Caleb Durbin, who's your favorite brewer right now? Who's the one that you think is just playing out of his mind?
I think there are a couple definitions I have to take.
Oh, sorry, sorry. I thought you were going to say there's a couple of guys that come to mind. I'm like, no, you got to nail down one, but go ahead.
First, like, player to watch, Sal Frelick. It's an easy pick for me. You know, as a fellow short king, like, absolutely love the way that he plays ball. Absolutely love the flow. He's playing hurt. Like, he's playing through it all. He's diving for first base. Like, love that product. Now, the other category I want to point out of just sort of, like, you know, humble confidence in somebody that I think is, you know, sort of in a weird role right now, but I think we're going to remember how good this dude is next season is Tobias Myers. And Tobias Myers is going to be somebody that, you know, he's been really good as a reliever. The new splitter has been great. And you never know in this final month and a half if somebody comes up a little tender, if somebody comes down or whatever. And Tobias Myers is that guy. It's like, I got you. Like, I mean, D.L. Hall just went down. So Tobias, like, I got it. And man, like, do not forget, Tobias Myers is probably going to be on a playoff roster and is going to impact the game in some way, shape, or form.
So I told the guys this yesterday in our group chat. I'm at a pizza place last night watching the Brewers game, and there's these older ladies, these elderly women, and apparently they go to this pizza place and watch every Brewers game. I was talking to the service staff about it, I could overhear them when Sal Frelick got on base. He was sitting there at first. He took his helmet off, and he shakes out the flow, and he puts the helmet back on, and these little old ladies go, "He is so hot. He is so hot." I was like, "Oh, you get some, girl. That's right." So apparently it's not just the way he's playing. People are very into Sal Frelick for other reasons as well.
No, you know, he went to school.
They should invite my fiance over as well.
The Sal Frelick fan
I'm fighting that, man. He's got better flow than me. We're the same height, man, and we joke about it all. But the big thing is my fiance went to BU. He went to BC, so that's a deal breaker.
Yeah, Chewy likes him because he went to BC. All right, Dom, we appreciate you hanging out with us. We are all Brewers all the time right now as they continue to have just this magical season, this fantastic run. So we appreciate you taking some time to hang out with us this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Thank you, guys. Go Brewers.
Discover Proof Pizza at St. Kate the Arts Hotel in the heart of Milwaukee's Theater District. It's a modern pizzeria that delivers Neapolitan-style pies, a bold grill menu, and old-school hospitality in a sleek, art-inspired setting. We went to Proof Pizza a couple of weekends ago. My girls loved it. And the pizzas come out so quick with that oven that they've got going on there. It really is a great spot. Whether you're craving a quick lunch or a relaxed evening bite, Proof Pizza is your go-to downtown destination. And if you mention Jen Latta, you'll receive 10% off your order. Now look, it was a little weird mentioning Jen Latta when we went and got our pizzas, I'm not going to lie. But 10% is 10%, gang. Learn more at stkatearts.com. That's stkatearts.com.